All right. Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. We're waiting on the sound man here. Do you have my... Oh, there we are. Okay. I'll shut this other mic off up here and take care of it. Meditation. You ready? All right. The title of this morning's message is "This Life is Temporal." You know, as you and I live our lives, often we tend to forget the fact that our time on this earth is very short. When I was getting this message together yesterday, I was kind of in a little bit of a melancholy mood, and I was thinking about immigration. I was thinking about my grandfather who waited on Ellis Island until he got in. But you know what I really thought about was he had a life. My great-grandfather had a life. He had dreams, and he was gone. He went the way of the world. My grandfather, same thing. He had dreams. He had a life. But yet now he's gone. And this is what you and I have to understand. Even though it seems like our life is going to go on forever, trust me, as David says, we're all going to go the way of the world. Well, unless Christ comes back. But the Bible compares it even to a vapor. Here 1 minute and gone the next. For one reason or the other, way too many of us lose this truth, lose the fact that this journey is very short through this life. Now, we all work to give our families all the good things that we need. And I use the word need very loosely because we work a lot of times for things we don't need, things we want. We work hard to have the money to enjoy the pleasures of this life. But if we really want the best for ourselves and our families, trust me, we are told where to focus our thoughts. Colossians 3, 1 through 12, or 1 and 2, you don't need to turn there, but it says, if you be, here's that big word F again, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. So you understand, it is a very temporal thing, and we are to set our affections. Because let me tell you, the eternal rewards that's awaiting for Christians today far, far, far outweigh anything you and I could ever get on this earth. We could work 18 hours a day, make all the money we could possibly make. But as we used to say in Longville, you ain't going to take it with you. It's all going to stay here. It's all going to belong to somebody else. You see the treasures and the rewards that await you and I as Christians when we take that step into forever. They are the only treasures that will last forever. We might try to get all the gold we can get. We might have a whole bank vault full of money or full of gold. It's not going to matter. The streets are even paved with gold in heaven. Gold is just pavement up there. This morning our text stresses God's love and His desire for us to distinguish the difference. Get that? To distinguish the difference between our earthly life and our eternal life. And to live our lives accordingly. Turn with me, Will, to our text, 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to be looking at 4 through 18. And I love passages like this because it's a promise. It's a promise. And it makes me think a whole lot less of what I have in this world and what I'm going to earn in the next world if I live my life the way it should be. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in 14. It says, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, although our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but to things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege of being able to pastor this church, Lord, and be a part of this great work that's going on here at Emmanuel Baptist Temple. And Lord, I just pray as we continue down the road, Lord, we know that you have great things in store for us. And I give you the thanks, Lord, that Jesus came and died for my sins and for the sins of the world. And I pray for these poor folks today that are being misled by their colleges, by their teachers, saying that the Bible means nothing. But Lord, we help us to understand that we're in a situation where we need to begin at the beginning because people don't believe the Bible. We can say the Bible says. But Lord, help us to get folks to understand that in the beginning, God, and that's what happened. And Lord, I pray this morning that you please put a hedge around this body of believers. Help us to grow spiritually, grow as a church, and please bless this baptistry that's going in here and in this next week. I pray for my dear wife, Jeannie, Lord, that you would raise her up, Lord, and bring her back to me that we can serve you the way she wants to serve you. I pray for our country and its leaders. I pray for that situation going on next week with North Korea. Lord, we just pray that could be the end of one of the most miserable wars that never ended. Another war that the United States never won because we quit. Lord, I pray if you bless the message now and the messenger, give me the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name for his sake. Amen. Now, you know, everybody sitting here, we all understand the Bible. We know that the Bible is true. And the Bible tells us that people who set their goals on the things of this world are missing the real point of life. The real goal in our life should be centered on the rewards that await us that earn them during this life. It's not how much money we make. It's not how many things go wrong in our life. And we're going to see that in the text. It's all about making our way in the glory of heaven, getting our rewards. Now, those treasures and rewards that Christ will hand you and me the day when we stand before him are going to really amount to more than anything. If you and I had a gazillion dollars in this earth, even one reward that God gives you is going to be worth it. Because as Christians, this day will come. The day will come when we look our Savior in the face. We'll look him straight in the eye and we're going to give him an account. Not of our sins. He's already paid for our sins. We know that. He died on the cross. Our sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. But we will give an account to him for what we did, how we lived our life. You don't need to turn there because it's such a... We use it quite a bit, but 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone, not just some of us, but every Christian may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So you understand that we're going to get rewards for the good things we've done, but it also tells us if we're down here making a mess of our life, if we're down here worrying more about the world, you're going to lose some of those rewards. And those are going to be precious things that we're going to lose. I have no idea if we know what they're going to be. I mean, if we're standing there and he says, I had this 25-bedroom mansion for you, but now it's only going to be 10. You know, I don't know what it's going to be and don't even know whether we're going to understand it. But we do understand that it's God's goal for each of us to earn these heavenly rewards during this pilgrimage. Think it again of my great-grandfather and grandfather. They're just pilgrims. You and I are pilgrims. This world is not our home. Look with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 14. God tells us exactly what we should be building this life on. And it has absolutely nothing to do with our wants. He promises our needs, but it has nothing to do with our rewards. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 12. Now here's what God tells us. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, now, of course, this foundation is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, we got to think of some of these TV evangelists that had golden doghouses and air-conditioned doghouses and all these things. He tells us, now, if any man build upon this foundation, they're using Christ as a way to make money. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means made naked, new, right open before the God. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. There's the promise, folks. Again, this fire is going to try these things that you and I do during the week. How you and I try to hang on to everything we have. Be afraid. You know, I have never been afraid. Well, I'll take that back. When I first went into the ministry, I gave up every financial income that I had for $150 a week. Now, I would have to say that I was a wee bit nervous. But you know, that was only for a few minutes. From there on, all I did was I just did what I knew God wanted me to do. And He has blessed me throughout the years. I know people in Crestline, people in Nashville, a lot of people think I'm rolling in money. Well, if I rolled in all the money I have, I wouldn't have much rolling to do, okay? But that's not what it's about, folks. It's about what we do with what gives us, what God gives us. And He wants the best for each of us. He don't want us all living on the streets. He wants us to have the things. He has blessed me beyond belief. I have more things than I ever thought I would have. But we all know God loves us because He gave us His Son. But do we really understand that He really does want the best for us? And that He's interested in absolutely everything we do, everything we say, everything we think? And here's the scary part. We're going to be judged on each and everything we say, everything we do is going to be judged on its merits. Why did you do that this week? Why did you do this? Did you do this so I could serve the Lord? Did you make $5,000 this week so you could have a new TV or so that you could serve the Lord? You see, it's going to be judged on its merits as to whether it has any eternal value at all. If it has no eternal value, you might as well stay in bed. You might just as well stay in bed yesterday. Because we see in Daniel 27 that all these things are going to be weighed in God's balances, not ours. And God will decide if it measures up to eternal rewards. We saw this in Daniel 5:27. You don't need to turn there, but when God was talking to Belteshazzar with a handwriting on the wall. Now, you and I have never seen the handwriting on the wall. But if you and I read the Bible, we can actually see the handwriting on the wall. Not physically, but the handwriting on the wall says that we have to do the things we're supposed to do. In Daniel 5:27 it says, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." Now I wonder this morning, If we were all, and I'm not talking about you, I'm not talking about the folks listening to this message, I'm talking about you and I. I'm talking about us. How would the scales tip for you this morning? Are we living our life the way Christ wants us to live? Or are we just getting by, doing what we want to do and not worrying about the Lord? You see, if we're not doing the things we should be doing, if we're not living for Christ, if we're not serving Christ in our life, we're not fooling anyone. We might be fooling ourselves, but trust me, no one is being fooled. You can fool yourself. But God says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we're gonna reap what we sow, folks. If we sow spiritual things, if we live our life sowing spiritual things, I'm not saying we don't have to work, because thanks to Adam, almost slipped there. Thanks to Adam, we got to work. We have to work. You know, if you don't work, you don't eat. And Christ says, if you don't work and feed your family, you're worse than an imbecile. Or infidel, thank you. Infidel, yeah. Well, an infidel is an imbecile. Okay, but anyhow, don't kid yourself, all right? We can't kid ourselves, because you're not going to kid God. In our text for this morning, we're seeing that this loving, our loving Father, once again, assuring us as the real children of God that one day He's going to raise us up just as He did Jesus. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead. Look with me, if you will, the first verse of our text for this morning. 2 Corinthians 4:14. Says, knowing, understanding, okay, the word knowing means understanding, that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Now, Paul's talking here to the saved, as born-again Christians here at Corinth, just as God is using this to talk to you and I this morning in the saved. The passage was written to those that have sincerely accepted Christ as their personal Savior, a truly born-again children of God. And if a person... John 3:3 says, verily, verily, and Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yet, folks tend to just forget that. They want to tend, but God, Jesus said, except you be born again. Now, when we talk to folks, we need to be able to understand what being born again means. Born again means being born with the Spirit of God, being reborn. Being the Spirit of God has entered into us. If you're here this morning or listening this morning and you cannot remember a time when you realized that you were a sinner and headed straight for the fires of hell, and from the very depths of your heart, you prayed and asked God to forgive you your sins and were willing to do the best you could. We know that you can't be perfect, but you're willing to do the best you can. But it has to come from the heart. It can't come from the mind. It has to come from down here. For with the heart man believeth, Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if you know without a shadow of a doubt that Christ was the Son of God, and that He came to this earth and died on the cross for you, was buried, and on the third day He arose again. If you have done this, then God is speaking directly to you this morning. And if you are in the majority, in the sad part, God said the majority, we're not going to take that straight, narrow path to heaven. We're going to take that wide, easy, well-paved road to hell. Look at Matthew 25:41. Because the majority of people don't think this is necessary today. They just want to take this and throw it away. Our colleges, our teachers, our governments, they're teaching us, hey, and all these liberal idiots out there, I'm sorry, but that's how I call it as it is, they like to say all roads lead to God. Well, they do, but it depends on whether the God is a small g or a big G. Okay, if it's a capitalized G, that's where we want to be. We want to be with a real God, and that's a narrow path. And here's what's going to happen to those folks that says, I'm going to take the path of life. I'm going to do what I want to do. Like Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. Well, unless something happened to old Frankie, old Blue Eyes, he's still burning in the fires of hell. I can't judge that. I don't know that. I'm not God. But if that's the way he lived his life and he felt that was what was going to work, he's worked his way straight into the fires of hell. Because in Matthew 25:41, it speaks to those that want to take this easy path. I don't think they need to be born again. Don't think that they need Christ in their life. Don't think they need church in their life. And of course, I feel sorry for the millennials because that's what they're being taught by everybody. And I believe that we as Christians, now this is kind of going down another rabbit track here, but we as Christians almost need to start at the beginning now and make them understand that there is a God. How in the world could a body like this, with all these nerves and all, I think the brain weighs 3 pounds, it is mostly water. But it controls every nerve in our body. How in the world does anybody think? You'd have to have a lot of faith to be an atheist. I mean, you look around. You'd have to have a lot of faith to believe that this world was designed out of a Big Bang. We're out of evolution. But anyhow, let's get back to the message before I forget where I'm at. Okay, in Matthew 25:41 says, then he shall say to them on their left hand, this is when everybody's going to be called. All the lost are going to be called before God. And they're going to stand there, and I don't care what they say right now, every knee will bow. And it says, then he shall say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20:15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're here this morning and you're not really born again, you don't have your name in the book of life. You're going to join these folks. If you're listening via the internet today and you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you do not have your name written in the book of life. And if you're among this group this morning, you are only lost because you choose to be lost. We have a tract that we're going to be passing out in our canvassing called The Choice. Everyone in this world has a choice to accept Christ. Have the choice of either spending eternity in heaven or spending eternity in hell. It is altogether up to you. God did not design a person and say, you're going to go to hell, you're going to go to heaven. He gave us a free will, right? Man has a free will to make his choice. And it's important to note that the lost, they also have another life. Their second life will be eternal punishment. God's waiting for the lost to come to him with a repentant heart. I don't care who you are, what you're doing out there today. If you come to God with a repentant heart, he says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You come to Christ with a right heart, you're going to be welcome with open arms. No matter what we've done, how unworthy we feel, makes no difference. Yet millions are going to spend eternity in hell because they don't think it's necessary. Now let's get back to our text this morning. We're going to see God has promised to raise the saved today, just like Paul and his helpers and all the born-again Christians from Corinth. And look at verse 14. Knowing that he was raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Then in verse 15, we got to see our attitudes towards God's will. God goes on in verse 15 to say that no matter what happens in our life, it's done for a reason. If Cliff truck breaks down, it's for a reason. I mean, there's no reason to get out there with your tire wrench and start beating on the truck. Although I've been in that situation and I felt like doing that. But just think about this. This goes for everyone. Our attitude has to be that everything is for our sakes. It's done for our sake. No matter what it is in our life, we're to react to that, being thankful. And I hate to keep using Cliff and his truck, but I'm going to do it anyhow. But you know, who knows? If that truck hadn't broken down, Cliff might not be with us today. He might not be with us. Who knows what's waiting up the road for us? So we got to take the attitude when something happens, whether we think it's good or bad, that it is for our sakes. And in 15 it says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant of grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound. That means exist in large quantities to the glory of God. You see, giving thanks is a command. We're going to see this tonight, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The fact that Cliff's truck broke down, it was the will of God. Now, who in the world are we to tell God he doesn't know what he's doing? You know, I have things go wrong in my life. And I used to have a terrible temper. But it's hard to give thanks when something bad happens. When you're under pressure, you're under this pressure, you got to get this done. But let me tell you, the only thing that's really important is what we do for Christ. You see, we're all guilty of having a bad attitude towards Christ. And the question here is, who do we think we are to question God? Who are you and I? Who are we to say, God, you made a mistake. You just messed up my whole day. My whole day is going to go down the tubes because you did this. What do you think God thinks about that? He did not say some things are for our sakes. He says that all things are for our sake. You see, God realizes, and he knows we're just human beings. He knows that. And he knows we're not always going to react the way we should. But it is his hope that we do react in the right way to many things through the thanksgiving, so that thanksgiving may abound to the glory of God. Let me tell you, when we question God, there's no glory given to God there. His will, that we always maintain a positive attitude, no matter what happens. Let me tell you, I found this out years ago. I've always tried to have a positive attitude about everything. Don't always work. You know, I don't always do that. But we have things in our life that God wants us to accept. And if it's his will for our life, that's the most important thing you and I can do. Now, he goes on in verse 16 and tells us not to give up, but to continue. Just get in there and turn that key again and see if that truck starts. You know, if not, get somebody to fix it. Look, in doing so, we must allow the old, sinful, greedy, selfish, self-centered man to die. And trust me, that's where I used to be. Still are sometimes, still is sometimes. But 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not." The word faint not means we don't give up. "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." If we look at the world as we should, we see the insignificance of worldly things. See the insignificance as that truck just gave up altogether. I tell you what, Cliff missing the kids are not going to starve. It just isn't going to happen. If we look at the world as we should, Paul tells us in Romans 12:12, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Get in the Word of God. Understand where you and I are supposed to be in this world. Understand how important it is to be serving. It says in verse 12, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Listen to this, "that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There you go, folks. That's what we're looking for, the perfect will of God. Not our perfect will, but the perfect will of God. And you and I can only renew our minds to the things of God if we're reading the Word of God. If we have a good prayer life, if we have a good attitude about life, we need to be in a good Bible-preaching church every day. The doors are open. We need to be serving and working for our Lord and Savior. If we look on down to verse 17, we find that no matter what, our problems are going to be short-lived. Whatever they are, it's going to be over. It's not going to be forever. It says in verse 17, "For our light affliction." Now, when we think, and here again ago with Cliff's truck, if we compare Cliff's truck broken down to Christ hanging on the cross, how significant is that? It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." You see, if we accept that, he tells us it worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our afflictions are not going to be forever. And if you and I are willing to accept things that seem to be trouble and trusting God to what's best, man, we're going to live, as we used to say in Loudonville, high on the hog when we get to heaven. Don't have any idea what that means, but we used to always say it. Because it says, "For far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." Now, we spoke earlier about how God describes our earthly lives. Look with me at James 14. Now, you don't need to turn there, but James 14, or 4:14. "Whereas you know not what will be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You see, we need to simply realize, just like my great-grandfather, like my grandfather, like my mom and dad, they had worries, they had problems. But it's no longer. It's no longer. They've made their choice. I don't know. I'm pretty sure about my mom and dad. No idea about my grandfathers. But we're told in the last verse of our text for this morning, we're to look at the eternal things and forget the temporal things. Look at verse 18. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Here's God explaining that the treasures that we can get a hold of right now, the things we can hold on our hand, mean nothing. They're only temporal. You're only going to have them in your hands for a little bit. Material things only have value on this earth. Job 1:21. Job says, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, you know, we could keep going on into chapter 5. But we're not going to do that this morning, but we would see Paul going on to explain that this temporal earthly body is soon going to be done away with. I'm going to read you 1 Corinthians 5:1, then we're going to close. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house made not with hands, eternal in heaven. What a blessing that's going to be, folks. As we close this service this morning, I hope and pray that each of us has just a little different outlook on what weighs the heaviest, what's going to tip the scales in God's eyes, not ours, but in God's eyes, is what we're doing.